Dean.
And I'm Derek. I was supposed to open.
What? Say Derek?
I was supposed to say, hey, welcome to Under Your Roof and In Your Backyard with, and you go, I'm Dean, I'm Derek.
Okay.
That's what we just talked about.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, and then you totally just jumped.
No, that's what I just
you
did.
Have, what's going on in your brain?
So you're really emotional today.
I am not emotional.
Let's just take a step back, and I am going to give this to you.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yes, ready.
What's the name of the show?
Under Your Roof and In Your Backyard.
With hey, I'm Dean. Was that wrong? That's my cousin Derek. He's having a stroke. He's at the age now where he could have a stroke.
Oh my gosh, it was 95 degrees today. I was outside doing displays
at the course.
And you kept coming up to me and talking about all these problems.
Like, I try to work today, but
I know
it was
you did.
Crazy.
I know it was crazy, but I have nothing left in me. And
okay.
You know that.
Okay, so right. I'll take over.
Listen, we're talking about the trades today.
This, and you know what? Derek and I kid around a lot.
Oh,
but
I
this is
catch
something.
My breath. Oh my gosh!
And we'll probably kid around with this. I know we will.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about to you, young folks out there, and middle age, man or woman. It's not just men. The trades are so big right now. There's a huge need for the trades. We're so passionate about the trades because the trades have saved our lives.
Absolutely.
And
I mean,
given us a life.
You just took a lot of what I wanted to say, but that's okay because you said it with that passion you
it's
have
the truth.
As Dean. But let's go back. Let's go back to 2009, 2008, World of Concrete, and we started to see ads in the magazine there. This piece of machinery will help you with the problem coming up with labor, right?
It will set brick pathways. It will set brick.
This piece of machinery, you know, everyone wanted you to buy this next big thing because people are spending millions of dollars at that trade show buying equipment so they can make more profit throughout the year. All of it was all about the labor problem coming up because everybody that's working in the trades saw that this was going to be an issue. So
there's
right
a storm
now,
coming.
What's going on right now is the trades are so huge that you can name your price.
And there's not enough, because I have this, now that you and I work with architects, work with homeowners, I don't have a lot of people left to recommend or refer to
jobs. Well,
that's
what I'm trying to say. There's not enough people, especially in the younger generation coming up. But you and I are starting to see a regrowth and a rebirth in that right now.
Huge. There, you know, and people diss on the millennials.
I don't.
You know,
I don't diss on them.
People like,
no.
They're there.
You can't generalize them.
Exactly.
You can't generalize them.
Exactly.
You can't generalize us. It's not fair.
No.
Because we've met many boys and girls in that millennial
incredible
area.
Work ethic.
Incredible.
Passion.
Okay, here's one for you. Went to a bike store two weeks ago with Marianne. Went to a bike store to pick up her bike. She got a tricycle, by the way. She looks like the Wicked Witch of the West.
No,
in
she
Situate
looks,
driving
I'm
around.
I'm not going to say what she looks like.
So
go ahead.
But okay. She's cute on her tricycle.
Okay.
Put it in the pickup truck. Got it for her. I'm talking to the kid. He's 19 years old. I think he's just working there, right? I think he's just working there. So I said to him, hey, how long have you been working? He goes, oh, about 3 or 4 years. I said, yeah, one of these days you're going to own the store. He goes, I do. I said, excuse me?
Good for him.
He goes, I own the store. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I started working here when I was 15 years old.
Good for
and
him.
And after 3 years, when I became 18, I got a loan. My father helped co-sign for me, you know, but it's my loan. I pay the bills. He said, and I own this store. I've been in business for probably about 14 months on my own. The kid was unbelievable, and he had so much pride in the fact that he owned that
store. We're going to talk about that.
He didn't want to go to college.
No.
He goes, I'm not going to college.
Good
this is
for
what
him.
I want to do for my life.
Good
he
for
loves
him.
Bikes. He does competitions. He tricycles all over the... I mean, tricycles.
Mountain bikes, probably.
Mountain bikes, but also, you know, road bikes and everything, too. He does it all over the world.
Good for him.
19 years old.
And there are a lot of stories like that.
Yeah.
The thing that's tough for young men and women to understand, and it's kind of overwhelming when they're thinking about getting into the trades, you can't become a tradesperson overnight. You have to pay your dues.
Absolutely.
A lot of people want that immediate fix. They want to be, oh, okay, I'm going to be a stonemason, and within 3 months, I can call myself a stonemason and start doing walls, and we've seen that.
Or any
we've
trade.
Had, we've had...
any of the trades.
We've had
plumbers,
young guys that work for us that
electricians.
After 6 months, they thought they could tell us our business,
well,
and all of a sudden, they became stonemasons.
I think that's about the temperament of a person, not a generation.
Yeah. So there is. You have to pay your dues in the trades, but I tell young guys and young girls that come into the quarries all the time this. If you can do what Derek and I... You're skilled where Derek and I are at this stage of our life in like 10 years from now, you'll be able to name your price.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll be able to have your own business. No if question. You learn how to do something like QuickBooks and you hire a good accountant, you don't lease brand new $60,000 trucks and Bobcats, you can have yourself an incredible life. Some of the most wealthy people I know, you'd never know it, and you'll agree with this.
No, you're right. You're right about that.
80-year-old stonemasons that come in.
All right, let's go locally, because you and I have invested locally. Plymouth Quarries is investing locally. South Shore Votech High School.
Yes.
It's in Hanover. Oh, and by the way, the bike store, Bikeway in Hanover. Stop in and see the kid. So South Shore Votech in Hanover. There's a waiting list to get into the Votech school. Weymouth has a Votech section filled, you know. And a lot of the Votechs aren't just about construction, nursing, management, learning about engines, diesel engines.
There's also cooking, right?
Cooking, yeah. Right. Culinary, all of that. So it isn't just about construction when you're talking about the trades. And I know you know that, but let's make sure we're clear about that.
Yes.
You and I are going to tap into what we do because we've learned along the way. But these trade schools that are out there, they're booming.
And it's a huge thing. There is nothing like, and we can touch a little on the story with your dad, how when we were growing up with him, we were like, man, we're never going to do this for a living. Right? But we didn't know what he gave us is the greatest gift because of that trade.
Right.
You know, everybody has some ups and downs in their life. You and I both had that trade to fall back on.
It saved our lives. You said it. It did. Saved our lives.
It did.
No
and
question.
If you want, we could maybe do a show and talk about personal how it did.
By the way, if you have any stories about the trades or you want to share something with us, contact us at deanandderek.com. Drop us an email or get to our Facebook page at Dean and Derek, because I'm sure there's many of you out there that have experienced what we've experienced, learning a trade and raising your family, buying a home, doing all the things you do where you work with your hands.
So listen, a trade's one thing no one can take away from you.
Sure.
No matter where you go, you move out of state, whatever, your father said this, I hope you never have to do this for a living, but you will always figure out a way to take care of your family.
You will. And he was right about that.
Ups in the economy, downs in the economy. Right. We went through it and we always got through.
All right. So when I was about 18, because, you know, I was a
You were miserable.
I was miserable.
Miserable human being.
I was moody.
No, yeah, you were
I'm
just
not
miserable.
Moody anymore.
No,
what happened?
Well, thankfully.
Do you think my I chemically balanced or something?
No, your wife beat it out of you. Thank the Lord you married that woman.
She Irish.
Yes.
Farm girl.
Smart.
Yeah.
And she straightened you right up.
She did. Your wife
Don't
did the same thing.
Don't mention my personal life. I'd like not to get into that
I'm
right
now.
I'm not
getting into your personal life. I'm just saying you married the right woman too, because you know what? You can't walk on her. She won't let you walk all over her. But, you know, I was moody and poor dad, you know, like I drove him crazy. But when I learned that on a Saturday, I could pick up a bucket of tools and go fix a front step.
And what could you make like in the early 80s?
$500.
Thank you.
I would make $500. I'd be mixing and setting something by 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'd be done by 3 or 4.
Done.
And then I'd go back the next day on a Sunday or Monday after work and I'd clean it, you know, with some acid, just get it nice and clean. I'd walk away with $500.
Right. So I don't want to just focus on the money aspects, because there's huge potential in the financial side.
There is, but there's also... By the way, I know where you're going, but I'm just going to say one more thing, because it's going to open up a big door that we have to talk about. It's not just about working with your hands in the trades. It's about the people that are business-minded in the trades for management, estimating.
How many people have we met that were on Wall Street, all of a sudden had a passion for outdoor design and stuff? They started a company, hired the right people to do the work, and with their business skills, they partnered up with a top stonemason.
I'm going to just give a plug. Look at Chris McCarthy.
There you go.
There he is, local guy. He's doing beautiful work. He was in financing, went to college, all that. And he's like, you know, I'm done wearing a suit and tie. He's doing great landscaping, great hardscaping, which is another show.
And you know what, though? His college education didn't hurt him.
No.
It wasn't a waste of time.
No, because...
I don't want... People seem to get both sides. Oh, you don't need to college.
Oh, just go to college.
Right. But right. If you can combine the two without giving yourself $200,000 in debt... That will service you on both sides,
well,
because you have to be a businessman and a tradesperson.
His paperwork on every single job to the T.
Incredible.
And that's one thing that a lot of us in the trades have to get better at. You and I had to get really good at
that. We learned fast. We learned the hard way.
Being good businessmen.
Yes.
Right. But the trade school locally, South Shore Votech, we had the kids come for
a tour,
a field trip.
Yeah.
Remember the bus showed up. How many? We had about 15 kids.
Mm-hmm.
There were two girls or one girl in that group?
I think there were two.
I think there was a hardscape. It was a landscape construction group. Those kids were so blown away.
Well, when you see the quarry, it's amazing.
Well, we didn't show them the quarry, though.
No, but when you see the whole operation and you see trucks coming in and out and products and 300 acres.
Some of those kids wanted to do, machine work. They wanted to operate machines. Some
of them part of the quarries.
Right. Some of them wanted to be, working bulldozers. Others of them wanted to sell stone. Others wanted to be managers.
Drive trucks, huge trucks, deliveries, pickups.
Manufacturing the stone that we have in our fabrication shop, all that. These kids did not want to leave. And the next day, you and I got an email from a parent. And she said to us, I don't know who you are. I've driven by your place for 20 years.
I remember she had that line. I didn't realize how handsome Dean was in person. That was incredible. And she's right.
Do you hear the oxygen being sucked out of the room?
Go ahead.
I can't breathe.
All right, go
so
ahead.
She didn't say that, by the way. But you are handsome. She didn't say that. What she said was, I've driven by you guys. I've driven by the Plymouth quarries for 20 years. I didn't know what you did. I never stopped in. My son won't stop talking about this place. Because you know we want to invest in these kids. I'm such a pain with that school that stop calling Derek.
No, because you have a passion for it. Both do.
We all do. And anybody in the trades out there, folks, find a local trade school and figure out how you can help them, please. Because they do. They need good teachers. They need people to come in. Just go in and advise. We're part of advisory boards.
And you know what?
Boards.
Some of the best teachers are men and women who are in the fields and they're kind of getting ready to retire.
Well, the kids are coming out and you can be an advisor to them.
Oh, my gosh. They're
looking for internships to get through their high school years anyway.
And
you
even,
start making those relationships.
You know, the only thing that bothers me, because we did a great talk at World of Concrete where I was amazed some of the teachers were getting emotional because we got into our personal
life
and stuff.
We did, yeah.
The one thing you wouldn't let me talk to about those kids, and I think they were old enough and mature enough for me to talk about, was when I got neutered. My vasectomy.
Son of a... You know what, dude? You have got to stop taking the light in this studio and pointing it to you.
No, because
why are we talking about that? Oh my gosh, I hate this story.
No.
I hate it.
Why?
You were talking about it with Nancy and Terry at the front desk the other day. I was embarrassed for you.
Why?
Because who wants to hear that?
Because it's a great story. It has
does it have to do with the trades?
Listen, this is what it has to do with the trades.
If you go into detail, I'm shutting your mic off. You can't go into that detail about that part of the part. You can't do that because I'll throw up right here in this studio.
Okay.
I swear to God.
So let me start this.
And
it's not inappropriate. It sounds like it's inappropriate, but
we're
after
dancing
I'm done,
a line, folks.
Listen,
we're
if
dancing
you're
a line.
To the, if you're listening to this
if
podcast and you're driving.
If there's children in the room, cover their ears.
So if you're, husband and wife listening to this podcast and the wife turns to the husband and says, what the heck are you listening to? And why is he talking about getting neutered? First of all, he's an idiot. It's called a vasectomy. And how does that have to do with the trades?
But the
Wait a minute, but
the best part too is she's turning to her husband going, you're getting clipped next.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going. Yeah.
Yes. I didn't have a choice in the matter either. So if she says it's a negotiation, as we know what marriage is, but let that go. So here I am. So I had my last son. I decided we had a conversation. Anyway, we won't get into why. Just the fact that ever since then, I've been sleeping on the couch, but I'm going to let that go, too. So I go get my thing. You and I both kind of went at the same time.
Okay,
anyway,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I go
we
there.
We weren't next to each other, though. We weren't next to each other.
You know, it's like, obviously, when something like that is getting done and you're exposed, you kind of develop a conversation with the doctor because it's a little uncomfortable. So he starts talking. And he starts saying, well, this is what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, good, let's just get this over with.
Get to the
I'm
point.
Done.
Get
I'm
to
not
the
a
point.
Breeder anymore. I can't be the head of the pack. I'm in the back now. But forget about that. So anyway, he starts talking. He says, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a stonemason. My cousin and I, blah, blah, blah. He's like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah, why is that so exciting? He said, I got to tell you this
story. I know where you're going.
He's like, this guy, about 20-something years ago, built this wall at my house, and to this day, the thing looks unbelievable. I was so amazed as a doctor, and I do surgery, obviously. I was so amazed at how incredible this guy could take these stones that I was looking at. There were an ugly pile of stones, and what he turned it into, and 30 years later, that thing is still standing, not falling apart. He's like, that guy was unbelievable. I think his name was Artie. And I started laughing. He's like, what are you laughing about? I said, before you make any cuts, let me tell you. Was his last name Stearns, and did he look like this? He's like, yes. I'm like, that was my uncle.
That's my dad.
He's like, oh, yeah. My gosh. And then I heard how he tragically died, blah, blah, blah. He's like, that was incredible, blah. And it hit me.
Yeah.
I won't talk about the tube thing or anything like that.
Please.
I'm not going to talk about
don't
what
do
he
that.
Showed me. And
don't go
I'm
there.
Not. And he didn't do enough Novocaine. I'm not going to talk about that.
Oh my gosh.
So what it hit me was, and I'm going to get serious about this. What hit me was, isn't that amazing with what our trade, because it's, yes, you have to make a living.
Yep.
Yes, you have to take care of your family. But your father, in just doing what he probably thought was this just retaining wall, your father didn't think he was changing the world. Or what legacy, his mark, that wall will live longer than obviously he is and probably
right.
us.
Right.
He left a mark on this guy's property that the passion that this doctor talked about was incredible. And it hit me. That's the drug of the trades. I don't care what phase or what section of trades you are. There's something about it. When you do a job and it's well done and you know that job's going to be living long after you're done, there's a drug there.
Well, you take
there is.
You take pride in that because you want to make a statement. You want to leave your signature.
You take pride in your work.
And Dad did that. And Dad did that, and he taught that to us. That's true.
I was never on a job with your father where he said, let's just get this done. Yeah, don't prep it this way. That's too much. Let's just, you know.
No.
He never, we kidded about it and stuff, but your father, I never knew of anyone that called back and said, you know, your father already built a wall and it fell down 2 years later. It's
no.
a piece of crap. Ever.
No.
He there, and that's the thing that separates
well, that's kind of
the great from the regular
fly-by-nighters.
That's
kind of the beauty for me, you know, because it's been 31 years this week.
Your kids never, right.
They never met him. He's been gone 31 years.
But how'd you show your kids your father?
They've seen his jobs. Right.
How long some of them? 30, 40 years?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we walk every day in the quarries. That fireplace he built is 40 years old?
I'd say that Papa already did that job.
Yes.
Now the kids are teenagers and they drive by and I'm in their car.
But isn't that incredible?
And they go, hey, didn't Papa already build that? And like, Papa already built
that.
You
never think about it. When you're working in the winters or the hot summers, you never think about that. But when, as you get older, like we are, and you step back and you see some of the work you did and how hard we worked to try to do that.
You know what the thing, too, is when it comes to the trades is... I keep thinking of the younger generation because they're so vulnerable and they don't know much. And they're like, I think I like when you were 16 or 15 or 17 and people go, what are you gonna do with the rest of your life? You're like, oh, for crying out loud, stop asking me that question.
Right. How
any of you teenagers out there, you ever feel that way? We got it.
Even 20, 21.
Some
you know,
of the kids
you're in college, pick your major. Major.
Right. You go into, I mean, how many times has that changed? Even at the trade schools,
yes.
Some of the kids change
yes.
their degrees and their focuses. But, you know, you get going somewhere. You just get going because you have a knack. My dad always told me, he goes, you have a knack with your hands. I was like, yeah, whatever. But he was right. He was right.
True.
And when I learned how to cut stone, I was my happiest when I was cutting stone by myself and figuring out how to put the pieces together. I hated everything else.
Yes.
But I did like
we're
that.
We're gonna make it sound all, you know, beautiful. And
no.
Great.
No.
It's... Many times it's frustrating.
Yeah, of course it is.
You
but
do have to have a talent.
Hang on a second. I want to finish this thought and then you can go there. But I just want to finish the thought that these kids that are out there, they need to meet people like us, men and women in the trades, no matter what your trade is, no matter what your profession is, because they need to hear your story.
Yes.
They need to know that you questioned yourself. They need to know that you doubted yourself, that you were frustrated too. You know, how many times do people look at, we know some pretty successful people in the trades. And these kids look at them and go, oh, look how successful they are. Look at that beautiful truck. Look at their house. Blah, blah. You think that happened overnight?
No.
Right.
And for those young ladies out there, as a matter of fact, we're talking, there's a huge opportunity for you in our masonry world, but all trades. There was a young girl who won the national competition for
Skills USA
right. in the brick division.
Yeah.
A young woman.
Yeah.
So don't think that it's just a man's world anymore.
No.
And I'm not pandering. It's the truth.
No, it is the truth.
So
it is the truth.
We're talking about the passion and stuff. There is... We spent a lot of hours sweating, failing, frustrating.
Oh, are you kidding me?
The thing with this trade,
please.
Or any trade too, I think, because I've seen it, if you feel like you've gotten to the point where you know it all and you're the top of your game.
You're done.
You're done.
Yeah.
Because masonry, we've had conversations with 70, 80-year-old Italian, Irish, Portuguese masons.
Yep.
You talk to them And they're like, I finally feel like I started to get a good.
Okay, here's a good.
Like, here's a good. Jimmy, I won't mention his last name. He's a little short.
Why not?
Because he didn't know a lot about thin veneer. We'll talk about thin veneer, right?
Mario. I want to talk about Mario, okay. But go ahead.
Talk about them together. Then right. That's another conversation.
Why would you bring that up?
Well, I was worried you were going to. No? All right. So anyway, Jimmy says to me when he didn't know about thin veneer because he grew up with full bed stone, 4 to 6 inch stone where he'd hand chisel and make fireplaces and walls. He said, I was walking around showing him thin veneer and I'm like, Jimmy, you need to do this with your skill level and stuff and your eye. You can be incredible with thin veneer. So I walked him through the process and he's like, you know, so I'm a thinking. There was a job I drove down by the street, and I saw it. And the guy had these joints like a pencil.
That's a terrible accent, by the way.
I'm throwing it. That's how Jimmy talks. He's like a pencil. And I say to myself, eh, maybe I'm not that good. And I laugh. I laugh so hard. And this is a guy who's incredible.
He's got a pretty good ego.
He's incredible. His work is incredible.
Right.
He learned in Italy. You know what I mean? Right. And I said, Jimmy, you know why you saw that job? Because it was this. He's like, now I feel much better about myself.
Because it was a thin veneer job and they tightened the joint.
Yes. Okay. But that's the thing that hit me too. There's a guy who's done everything. Incredible jobs. Worked in Italy and now in America. Built a great business. Took care of his family, his kids. And he still feels like he can get better.
I think that's the biggest myth about success. As a lot of these kids or any of these younger people who are looking at getting any profession they're trying to get into and looking at that end result and it's a myth. There's a myth that it was easy because it's never easy.
No.
There's a myth that it happened overnight and it's never overnight. And there's a myth that success of what you're seeing is what you want.
Yes.
You don't know what you want yet, but you'll find out along the way if you have a work ethic. And if you don't have a work ethic, then work harder than anybody else around you and you'll find that work ethic.
And here's another point.
Yeah.
It's a very competitive business.
Everything's competitive.
Yes, but this is like it's almost like the acting world. You put yourself out there. You put your work out there.
Yeah.
And when you start to build your business and stuff, people like, you know, your competitors, they get a little nervous because you might start peeing on their tree and taking work from them and stuff. And they start ripping you or they start noticing your work and all of a sudden, oh, he doesn't know. She doesn't know. It's competitive.
And you know what the thing about competition, though?
It makes you better if you handle it.
It brings up the word confidence. And then with confidence can come ego. And all ego's not bad. It's not.
Yes,
there's healthy ego there.
I agree.
And there's confidence. I'm going to give you a compliment. And I hate giving you compliments.
It's going to be painful.
It's going to suck because I'm going to give you a compliment and I'll never hear the end of this.
Okay, go ahead.
But we were doing an episode for somebody south of Boston. It was a big show. Big show. Someone we know. And they were the homeowner. And they've known you and I for years. And this person comes up to me after we just did a take or something and said to me, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. He goes, Dean has that kind of like LA kind of Hollywood attitude. Like, it's me. Just get out of my way. This is a compliment.
Okay.
This is a compliment. Because when you're in front of that camera, you need a little bit of that. And he turned to me and he goes, you need just a little bit of that.
Really?
Yeah, he let me have it. He goes, trust me. He goes, I love your work and I think you're great. He goes, you're easy to talk to. I said, but you just need a little. And what I was realizing, and he was talking to me about my confidence. Because, you know, when I was in front of that camera, I struggled for 2 years, 3 years. I wasn't confident because I didn't know which way to go. I felt that way with radio, too, for a while, too,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel fine now. But it's like, you know, I was.
You held yourself back.
I was struggling. You just went for it.
You know why?
And
because my whole life was beaten to death and failure. I failed so much.
You did fail.
We don't get into
you failed
that.
A lot.
Totally.
You totally failed.
And then I woke up
like
one day.
Like if I was you,
right.
I would be depressed.
And you know
how
what I said to
failed.
Myself? Right.
Yeah.
But you know what I said to myself? And it's not like this. I had this epiphany.
Right.
I said, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail so big and so bad. I don't
so
care.
So you rubbed off on me that way. And as I look back to being 15, 16, 17, all that stuff, where how I was so cautious about everything I did. Guys and girls, if we can say anything to you, forget the caution.
Yes.
Go for it, and you will find your answers as you dive into whatever trade or business or any interest that you have. It will tell you what you want to do and what you don't want to do.
Yes.
Don't be sitting back as an observer going, oh, I don't know if I want to try that. No. Go. Just dive and go.
I totally agree
dive
with you. Right. But if you're going to jump into it like that in your business, in the trade, yes, don't be afraid to fail. But here's the words of caution. Number one, be prepared.
Oh, absolutely.
Be not just like, absolutely. Hey, I'm going to do it.
No.
Right.
I'm not talking about business. I'm talking about school.
No.
I'm talking about when you're in school and you're trying to figure out.
Okay, I'm talking about when you start dipping your toe in the water and getting
by
on the
trade. By that point, when you start going into business, you should know pretty clear what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. So be prepared.
Yeah.
And number two, don't be insane and take a job you have no right doing. I've had 3 or 4 young landscape becoming mason men and women coming into the quarries.
Yep.
They're like, hey, can you help me price this $150,000 job? And I'm like, meet me at 11 o'clock in the quarries. Let's you come to my office. We'll sit down. So show me what you got going. Well, this job's going to be unbelievable. If I get this job, it's going to be the biggest job I ever had. And if I'm done with this job, I'm going to make so much money. I said, show me the plans. Okay, can I be honest with you? Yeah, sure, yeah. You have no right doing this job, and I'm not going to help you do this job, and you're going to thank me for walking away from this job. Yep. Because if you take this job, you're going to ruin what little company you have, and you'll be out of this business.
But see, Dino, what that person did with you, whoever that is, I don't want to know the name, or I don't want to mention names. Whoever that was, they did the other thing you and I always say. Reach out.
Yes.
Reach out. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know what? Okay, what was I doing this week? I was doing herringbone brick. I'm not a big fan of herringbone brick.
It's a lot of work.
I love how it looks, but I'm not a big fan of installing
it. Yes.
And you have to make sure you have the right brick for that.
Modular,
right? Who did I ask? Jimmy.
Yes.
Jimmy's a brick guy. I said, Jimmy, can I ask you some questions? I've been doing brick and stone for
forever.
Over 30 years,
yes.
But I know that that's not at my expertise.
Yes.
I said, in the square and off of this, coming off the building, blah, blah, I just did a layout for him. He goes, tweak that, tweak this. I said, thank you, started me on my way. He came out and checked on me. Don't be afraid to ask. I mean, you would think that I would know and I'd be pretty confident with herringbone. I'm not. I'm not that confident with herringbone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not.
But there, and as you get into the business, you start going to the same supply yard every week. You get to know the same guys that are there every day.
Or to school, the teachers, or whatever. Don't be afraid.
And
also,
ask.
You know what?
People want to help.
Don't be afraid to reach out to some local businesses. Wouldn't it be great if some kid from some high school or trade school called up the Plymouth Quarries and said, hey, you know what? I'm really interested in learning how to purchase stuff or how does your business work? Can I come in and just observe? Or take the initiative as a young person and get involved with the businesses locally. Every successful business out there, and even the young ones that are still in their first 5 years, you can learn from them and get an internship with them.
You know what I think has been lacking in our business, and we're starting to branch out? Masonry Magazine, Masonry Design Magazine.
That's a great magazine.
Awesome magazines. And it's not because we do some articles for them. We had a lot of opportunity to write articles for different magazine. They're unbelievable, and they have a lot of great articles.
A lot of good content, right. A lot of knowledge, great articles. Yep.
So the thing that, where was I going with that? What did I say? I totally lost my train.
Well, you were bringing up because they just connected in with the architecture school, with the architectural society of all the schools around the country.
I think we've lacked in our business where we haven't given back.
I agree.
A lot of
we're
men
selfish.
And women who have become successful.
I agree.
Successful
I
in the
absolutely
trade.
Agree.
And I have learned that it's an incredible, I love having young people come in, ask us questions and help and build their business.
Right.
It's, I feel like,
come on.
I wish you and I had that when we first started.
We were afraid to reach out.
Yes.
We were. I always reached out to Brucey, our excavator. Brucey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? What should I do here? We'll do this. I had those, you know, 5 people when I was working by myself before you came, you know, where I needed them. But I wish when I go back again, I wish I wasn't as cautious. I wish I was. I wish that I had the guts to fail.
Yeah, but it took you a while to build up to that.
Well, it's and true,
it
but that was my temperament.
It maybe slowed you down a little bit
a
here
little
and
bit,
there.
But you know what? I would have been much further along, and I think I would have enjoyed the process better.
Yeah, but know? Now that you're at this stage, you look back and you're like, a lot of the lessons, a lot. Man, how many times, and I'm not pounding our chest, I used to joke about this with my wife. How many 4th of Julys did you and I work where we smelled people's barbecues?
All the time.
I would say the last
until about
the last
three,
three or four years, we started to take 4th of Julys off.
Yep.
Honestly.
Our kids were like, do you celebrate?
Yeah, exactly.
Dad, do you have a...
Dad, I'm going over to the friend's pool. Okay, I'll see you tonight. See you. Yeah. Why are you working 4th of July? Well, I have to. I have to pay the mortgage. Whatever.
Right?
But that's part of the process. But I look back on that as like, oh my gosh, I screwed up. I look back on fond memories because you and I were building something. And our hard work, we never knew that it would lead to a TV show. Not that that's the biggest part of our life, but we never knew that it would lead to us building our business and becoming some of the top
designers. Or that it would
lead
to us here.
Or lead to us here.
This network, absolutely.
We put our head down. Yeah. We worked and we didn't look up. It was like a marathon. We didn't know where it was going to lead to, but right. Every job, no matter if it was someone's cobblestone border or somebody's outdoor room, we approached it the same way, whether it was in a wealthy neighborhood or a middle-class working neighborhood. Every job was the same way. And
you know what it is? You
back,
need, look, you need a fire under your ass, and I'm sorry, but it's a truth. You need a fire to say, what are my goals? Where am I going? Time is ticking on by. When you're somewhere up to 29 years old or 30 years old, you know, there's not a lot of fire. There just isn't.
If you haven't figured it out.
Right.
But you
and
can
then
still,
when you,
there's
all of a
still
sudden,
hope.
That first kid comes, TikTok. Right?
Exactly.
And so I wish going back that I had that TikTok before my son was born.
But,
because we, you know, really, it's that whole thing of having responsibility. It's not about you anymore.
No, but that's a good point. So I know what I look back on there. When you had your kids... And, you know, we were lucky enough to keep our wives at home, which was incredible with that trade. Yeah. We live in a very expensive state, Massachusetts, and yeah. We kept our wives at home.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. It's true.
When you were doing that, were you thinking about your passion of the stonework? No. We were doing that as we need this job to lead to this job to lead. And then all of a sudden, as our business grew and we kept our head down and worked, all of a sudden the passion for our designs were like, hey, let's do this. Let's do this fire pit area, but do it this way. Let's do a different product. Let's research and find a different product
to do.
Well, then
you create. Then you create a network.
Passion comes with hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And success.
Instead of sitting back, like being that observer I was saying, that you're like, okay, I'll get passionate about something, then I'll do it.
Right.
No, just get going.
I'm
going
to give a quick story of passion.
Well, you know, one thing I wanted to say on that note you just said, you start to create a network of people that you like to work with, that you trust and that you learn from. Always be working with people who are better than you.
Right.
It's a truth.
Yes.
You know, when you're the kids out there, you're in school, always find those teachers that you can connect with. Always find those people that are going to give you, or you go, okay, I can pick their brain. Who was one of my favorite people in the whole world? Johnny Zompanti.
Yes.
Johnny Zompanti.
We had him on the show a lot of times too. If you
Johnny Zompanti was 30 years older than me. I loved him. He was one of my best friends. He passed at 86.
World War II vet landing in Normandy.
I knew him before I was a father. He taught me so much about life. Derek.
And what did he do for work?
He was a plumber.
Exactly.
And he called me up one day and he said, Derek, you're splitting minutes. Take care. You know, and that's, he was right. I was always splitting
awesome.
Minutes because you and
him.
I were constantly doing too much.
Yes.
And he's like, stop, slow down, take a breath, enjoy your
right.
life.
So you're not going to find your passion right away. It will turn, and that's a personal term for whoever, whatever your passion is in your work, right? Here's the flip side of someone finding their passion
oh,
before
boy.
They work.
Oh boy.
Remember, I won't say his name. We let him work on the show one time to do, you know, because indoors out. And his passion was he became a stonemason from reading how-to books.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And he started designing these big outdoor rooms with fireplaces.
Well.
And he couldn't even set brick right.
Okay? Wait a second.
He didn't even know what a cross joint was.
How did he design?
Because he had his laptop on the job. He was so advanced from us because he had his laptop
on
the job.
I asked him, he said, look at this new design. I said, oh, that looks really nice. How many hours did you put in? He said, 40.
Yeah.
I said, 40 hours? Is the customer
And he
paid?
Couldn't set block.
I was like,
right.
40? That's a whole week's worth of work.
Right.
Don't you have 3 kids at home?
Yes.
I don't have time for that.
Remember when we were talking about, so how do you guys pour your footings? Well, we're like, it all depends on the footing. What do you mean you don't dig 4 feet and pour 4 feet? I'm like, you're building a mini outdoor kitchen. Why are you, you're not building a house. Why are you pouring 4 feet? Unless you're pouring on sandy soil and on the beach. I'm like, what are you talking about? Right. So anyway, the story with him is he thought he was great. And, you know, he thought he was already a 30-year
skilled guy. Are we
going
to go down a dangerous road here?
No,
because
no.
I'm waiting to see where you're going with this.
Here's the dangerous thing.
Okay.
I met a customer about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
He's not in the business anymore.
Right.
And she said, I met this kid, blah, blah, blah. He took $50,000 from us and never finished and left us.
So that's a bad example of the trades.
But that's passion.
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was passionate and he knew so much more than us or any one of those old, you know, archaic stone
mason. It was all about him.
It was all fluff. So passion you work toward and you get it. It's not like I have a passion to do stonework because you know what? If you start off with this passion thing, when it's 95 degrees out and you have to finish a job,
there ain't no passion.
Okay?
There's no passion doing herringbone in a 95-degree patio.
It's a marathon. You start the Boston Marathon at the starting gate. I have passion to run. Then when you hit Heartbreak Hill, you have no passion, okay? You put your head down, and maybe when you finish, you can have passion after you're done.
It reminds me of those first years of being a dad. Baby's puking on you, haven't slept in 10 months.
Exactly.
You know, and your wife just looks at you, she goes, I just want to take a shower. Can I just go take a shower? And can you just hold the baby for 10 minutes so I can take a shower and brush my teeth?
Exactly.
And you go, all right, yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
But they do find a way to combine. They do, because there are a lot of
passion and business.
Yes, there are a lot of men and women who continue to work at old age, not because they have to,
right,
but because they have a passion for it. And if they know they'll die.
Look. I mean, it's the whole thing. If you can be, it's better to be a strong business person and have passion about being a strong business person than have passion about something that you have no idea how the business works.
No.
That's what I think. The other thing, too, is...
What the heck was that? That was that pause. If you could see his face.
I just had, it was like low fruit hanging in my head. And I went
to
grab it. It is gone. You know when you walk in the room and you go, I came in here for a reason.
Let me finish your sentence. We talked about the flip side, passion, all blah, blah, bull crap.
Yes.
The other thing is, if you jump into the trades because you're going to make money, it's not going to last.
No.
Because I go back to that 90-degree day or that 0-degree day where you're working.
Yeah.
The money thing, you're going to make money. That's going to go.
Yeah.
So you have to find, it's both. It's the combination, and you have to really love what you're doing, and you have to want to do, no matter what the job is, do the best job you possibly can at the time you're doing.
You know what I was going to say?
Right.
Fear.
Fear of failure?
Well, fear motivates me. It does. And I look back.
In some way, it motivates all of us,
right? That's what changed for me. I wasn't afraid enough before. I wasn't. Like, my wife said, because she knew Dad, right? And after Dad went and, you know, and how all that happened, all of a sudden, she said to me, you didn't really realize how lucky you were, did you? And I said, yeah,
I think
you're right.
Anyone can. But
you know what I mean? Like, we don't realize what we have until it's gone.
Yes.
And then what set in for me was, I remember picking up that bucket of tools, and I was afraid to let him down, and I was afraid to put like dirt on his name because I was going to do a bad job, right?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
But then when the kids came and all the other responsibilities came, I was afraid.
You didn't have time to think about it.
Like,
you were afraid of not paying your mortgage.
I was afraid I was going to drop the ball on them.
Yes.
I was gonna, you know what I mean? Like, that. There's nothing wrong with fear.
No.
Because it just made me stop, you know, getting anxiety.
Listen, let's
about
talk,
it and focus
talk
and make
about
me
fear,
a better
and
business
I know,
person.
I know we're touching on all the bases of the trade, but fear for us, even when our company was established and we're doing well, what was one of our biggest fears?
Yeah.
December and January.
Of course.
The winter's coming. We better have inside work or enough work, or we're afraid that we're not going to get any work. And then you go through the winter and you get through the winter. And then your next fear is like, I wonder if we're ever going to get another phone call for work. It totally does.
It's so true.
It's a mind game.
And you have to, you know, that's where our faith comes in and all these other things about our lives. But still, we don't
it's
have
a
to
mind
talk
game.
About that. But, you know, it is one of these things where you mature in that and you put it in its proper place. So fear can absolutely make you a stronger business person. And, you know, I keep thinking again of these younger people out there. They're afraid.
You know,
because they don't know what they want to do yet, and that fear is good.
Or you're in class, or you're in Skills USA, and the guy next to you, the girl next to you, is really good, and you feel like their work is better than yours, and you don't want to do right.
There's always somebody better than
you. So I go to the TV show now, because here we are. We're our first show, rock solid, teaching people how to do small masonry and stuff.
Yep.
What was our biggest fear that kept us up at night? Not if we weren't going to be good at TV, because if it failed, it failed. Who cares, right? not that we wouldn't know what we're doing. Our biggest fear was, what happens when stonemasons look at these shows?
Oh, yeah.
That was scary.
Oh, gosh.
Because we would never want... And stone... Listen, we got a lot of hate mail from these guys, like, you know, that
I
guy.
Have to stand up.
So we got hate mail, and Mason, some
I'm
masons
just saying,
are awesome.
I have to stand up.
Right, okay.
This stool's a little uncomfortable.
You still look
for
like
me.
You're sitting down, by the way. Those of you know Derek would know.
You bastard.
But wasn't that fear? Wasn't that what drove us? To make sure when we did, like, we went step by step to make sure
that
we're
were
honoring
authentic.
Our trade,
we're,
your father.
We're
yes.
authentic, yeah.
And we got a lot of great emails from
and
Mason
we got a
saying,
lot of hate emails, too.
Yes, and they were jerks, but I would always say, okay, why don't you email some of your work so we can, and they never did. And some people, you know,
who
that's
has time to send out a
that's
hate
like,
email,
you know,
by
that's
the way.
Like when you put videos on YouTube, there are people who are rip. They'll and you'll never get to see what they post because they're like accounts where they don't show
know,
any videos
know, but
or whatever.
Still, it's like, who has the time for that?
So
stuff?
I think we hit passion, fear, and hard work. If you can find a way for yourself to personalize them and make it happen, you can have a chance to have a very successful life.
I want to say one more thing.
We got to do another show on this.
We're
going to bring someone in who's a teacher or somebody like that.
No, that's true. But you know what? Any of you young people out there, two things. You get a job interview, show up 15 minutes before you need to be.
Don't text when you're getting interviewed.
Show up, look them in the eye, and shake their hand. Half your competition is gone.
And if you have any questions, email us at contactus@deanandderek.com.
Or get us on Facebook at
Dean
and Derek.
I'm going to let this last point go. I feel very passionate about this. Next time I do a talk, I'm talking about my vasectomy because I think it made the point.
Oh, dear God.
Just let it go, Derek. I'm bringing it down.